Thank you, Brother Chris, and our accompanist. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And as you are turning to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, now is the time, if you are sitting on the very right-hand side of each and every row, I want to invite you to take one of these Steps to Peace with God tracks and pass the rest to your left. If there are more than 8 people on your row, then you will need to look and see if there aren't some others around you. But if you will again just take one and pass it to the person on your left, Anyone? I want everyone to have one. There are some extras right there. I'll leave you to come get them. There are over 300 in all of these rows, and so I hope that we have enough, but it's possible that we may not. But I want to talk to you for just a few moments this morning about your greatest need in 2020. Your greatest need. I'm confident, 100% confident in that assessment. And not only is it your greatest need, it is also our greatest need at Emory Baptist Church. In this booklet, by the way, which is authored by Billy Graham, God used what's in this booklet to change my life. And I want to share that with you this morning. So I'm going to invite you, if you have one of those booklets, to simply open it to the first page. And notice that it says, step one, God's purpose, peace and life. You may not have known that this morning, that that is God's purpose for you, but in fact it is. It's God's purpose for you to have peace in this life. God loves you and has a purpose for your life. He wants you to experience the life He created you to have. He wants you to have peace and purpose through a personal relationship with Him. One of the reasons why I love this booklet is because it contains God's Word. And so what I'm about to share with you is not my thoughts on life, which are meaningless. What I'm about to share with you is God's Word, which is invaluable. The Bible says, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, why don't most people have the peace and purpose that God has planned for us? You may not have peace in your life this morning. Why not? If you'll turn the page to step two, our problem is a missing relationship. There's a problem. Something is missing. A relationship with God. We were created to have a relationship with God, but he did not make us to automatically love and obey him. Otherwise, we would be robots. He gave us a will and the freedom to choose. From the very beginning, we chose to disobey God and run our own life. This is what the Bible calls sin. The result is an empty life separated from God. That may be true of you this morning. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at that picture there, that diagram, that illustration. Notice that there are two sides and a divide in the middle. On one side, the left side, you can see two individuals and the words people and sinful. And on the other side, you can see the word God and holy. And what you need to notice there is that there is that divide. There is the divide between sinful people and holy God. Our choice leaves an empty life separated from God. If you'll turn the page, our attempts to reach God. People try to fill the emptiness in their life in many ways. They also try to build a bridge to God by doing a lot of good things. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, God saved us, Titus 3:5. No bridge reaches all the way to God. You may have tried some of these bridges. Obeying the rules, that's good, but doesn't reach God. Being religious, it's good, but that doesn't reach God. Helping others. Everybody loves a good neighbor, a good citizen, a good co-worker. But even those bridges don't reach all the way to God. No bridge reaches all the way to God except one. Turn the page. Step three. God's bridge is the cross. Jesus provided the only way to God. In order to bridge the gap between God and people, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He died for our sins on the cross and rose from the grave. This opened the way to forgiveness and a new relationship with God. The Bible says God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. Not because of anything that we had done, but because of his love for us, Jesus died for us. Jesus said to him, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. And now, if you will look at that picture, where previously there was nothing that bridged that divide, now there is. The bridge is Christ. And he allows sinful humanity to have a personal relationship with a holy God. God has provided the only way. And now the choice is yours. Step four. Our response is to receive Christ. God has done everything necessary to provide forgiveness and restore the missing relationship in our lives. He offers us the choice to accept it. We accept it by trusting in what Jesus did for us on the cross and receiving Him as our Lord, the one we follow, and Savior, the only one who can rescue us from sin. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Revelation 3:20. Now, in its original context, that scripture is in relation to the church. But that principle may be true of you this morning. As I said a moment ago, God brought you here providentially. You're not here by accident. God may very well have brought you to Emory Baptist Church on January the 5th, 2020, between 10:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. in order to save you. Don't neglect that. Jesus may very well be this morning knocking on the door of your heart, asking you if you'll open it and allow him to come in. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then if you'll notice this final picture in the booklet, the two individuals who were previously on the left side of sinful people are now on the side of holy God. And the only way to do that is through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. Everybody in the room, which side are you on? Are you separated from God this morning? If you're separated from God this morning, your greatest need in 2020 is not a better marriage, it's not more money, it's not new job, it's not better health, it's peace with God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is your greatest need in 2020. And so where are you? You've got to answer that question. I can't answer it for you. Husband can't answer it for you. Wife can't answer it for you. Neighbor can't answer it for you. You have to answer that question because you will have to answer that question one day before the Almighty God. What have you done with my son, Jesus? And so the next page, will you turn to Jesus Christ and receive him right now? Here's how you can receive Christ. Number one, admit your need. I'm a sinner. I've been running my own life. Number two, be willing to turn from your sin. The Bible calls that repentance, turning from your sin. Number three, trust that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And number four, inviting Jesus to come into your life and lead you in a new relationship with God. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. And notice there's even a sample prayer of salvation. Please understand me this morning. Unless your heart is changed, there is nothing magical about a prayer on a piece of paper. You understand that? There is no such thing as a secret recipe to manipulate the heart of God. What must take place in your life is a heart change. And if your heart is changed and can be reflected in praying a prayer similar to what is included in this booklet, How can you know that God will save you? Because His Word tells us such. God provides us assurance. If you surrender your life to Christ, the Bible says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Brother Richard, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what 2019... Okay, I don't. But God does, and His Word is still true. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And then the final Bible verse in this booklet is on the next to the last page. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:12-13. Notice that it doesn't say so that you may hope, or that you may guess, or that you may wonder. If you call on the name of the Lord to save you this morning, sir or ma'am, you can trust that God's word is true and that He will be faithful to Himself and to you. Now, if you're a guest with us this morning, I want you to know I don't normally read a booklet for my sermons on Sunday morning. As a matter of fact, next Sunday morning, we'll be back in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. But I want you to know what just happened. I have just shared the gospel with a room full of folks, number one. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you, if you this morning have been convicted of your sin, and God has given you the faith to believe, and you would have courage to respond, I'm going to invite you to respond publicly in being saved. So first and foremost, that was my number one objective. But here's a second objective. In about 20 minutes or less, I read an evangelism tract that I'm going to send home with many of you. And so if you can read and you have 15 to 20 minutes, guess what you can do with a loved one, neighbor, or coworker in 2020, which will be their greatest need in the new year. You can share the gospel. See how that works? It's our greatest need after it's your greatest need. Emory Baptist Church's greatest need in 2020 is not to have more people attend, is not to have more dollars given, is not to build more buildings, is not to increase baptisms. Our greatest need in 2020 is to share the gospel more. That's what will change your house. That's what will change your neighborhood. That's what will change your office. You want change in Raines ISD? Share the gospel more. It's your greatest need. It's our greatest need. But there's one more thing that I want to share with you. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, in verse 18. you find again this word peace. If you were here the Sunday before Christmas, I spoke on this issue of peace. The peace that John the Baptist announced, the peace with God that Jesus Christ accomplished, and the peace that Simeon accepted after having witnessed the Son of God. We've talked about peace this morning, being at peace with God through faith in Christ, Romans 5:1. But there's one more element of peace that you don't need to miss on the first Sunday of 2020. Listen to Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, I'm going to say it again. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your children, not your boss, not your employees, but let's talk about the person in the mirror. As much as depends on you, live peaceably or be at peace with all men. If you're not at peace with God this morning, that's your first need of 2020. If you are at peace with God as a follower of Christ, your second need in 2020 is to share that peace with others. But here's your third need this morning. Don't neglect this. Some of you in this room this morning in 2020 need to say these most powerful three words: I forgive you. Some of you need to say that. If at all possible, as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And if it's not the three words, I forgive you, then try these three words: please forgive me. Some of you need to do that. Once a month at Emory Baptist Church, we serve the Lord's Supper. We'll be doing that for the very first time in 2020 next Sunday morning, January the 12th. Some of you, for months and months and months, have refrained from taking the Lord's Supper because you understand that you're not at peace with God because you're not at peace with others. And I commend you for that. But brothers and sisters, if you refrain from the Lord's Supper indefinitely, you've missed the point. The point is for you to be at peace with God by being at peace with others. And so as far as it depends on you, say those words: I forgive you. Please forgive me. And so that you can join the body of Christ as a whole in doing what God told us to do. For as often as you drink this cup and as often as you break this bread, do this in remembrance of me. And so I hope you'll take that to heart as I give you a little preview of next Sunday morning. But as for today, this morning, is your greatest need to be at peace with God? I'm going to invite you at this time to bow your heads and close your eyes. and simply using this booklet as I have done previously. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if today you have been convicted of your sin and you recognize that you are not at peace with God because you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, whether you are church member or guest or male or female or young or old, I'm going to invite you to silently repeat after me a prayer something like this. Again, silently in your seat. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I want to turn from my sins, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins and that you raised him to life. I want him to come into my heart and to take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Now please keep your eyes continually closed and your head remains bowed. If you have prayed that prayer this morning for the very first time, I want you to know that God's Word says, as I read a moment ago, that God has promised to save whomever calls on his name to save them. And so now, in just a few moments, after I finish praying, if that is you this morning and you will respond publicly to this invitation, as we'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium, I'm going to invite you to step out of one of the aisles and come here to the front and greet me or greet Brother Ronnie and let us know of your decision today to receive Christ. And we would be honored and thrilled to celebrate with you and to counsel with you and pray with you to let you know what the next steps are. Maybe you're here today and you know exactly who you need to share this booklet with. I'm going to ask you to make that commitment this morning. You can simply do that where you'll be standing, the privacy of your own heart. But at the same time, maybe you want to come here kneeling at the front praying for the Lord to prepare that heart to receive the gospel from you. It's not beyond the realm of possibility or comprehension. If you're not at peace with somebody in this room this morning, that you need to step out from where you'll be standing and go across the room or go across the aisle or go to the back or go to the front and simply say to someone, I forgive you. Or, please forgive me. That's the way to start 2020. Father in heaven, you are certainly a good, good Father to us. And I ask and pray this morning that as I have attempted to lift high the name of Christ and only Christ, that you would now draw men and women and boys and girls unto yourself for salvation, to be at peace with God through faith in Christ. Father, again, we love you. but we know that you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and if this morning you are ready to respond publicly to this invitation that has been extended unto you, I would invite you to come on the very first stanza.